Next on the 5 o'clock report.
It would be like declaring drunk driving a public nuisance.
They were referred to as Freedom Day celebrations, Emancipation Day celebrations.
There is a need for people to have a weapon to defend themselves.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. President Biden delivering a COVID vaccination update this afternoon.
65% of American adults have gotten at least one shot, including 87% of our seniors.
He adds,
15 states and the District of Columbia have now reached at least 70% vaccination rate in their state.
Mr. Biden says hospitalization rates are not dropping in areas with low vaccination rates. Dr. McCary with Johns Hopkins tells Fox News,
public health officials ignoring natural immunity is one of the greatest failures, I think, of our leadership. You don't need the vaccine if you have immunity already from prior infection.
Many federal employees are off today for Juneteenth, signed into law as a federal holiday by President Biden. Juneteenth marks the day the final group of enslaved people in the Confederacy was told about emancipation in 1865 by a Union soldier. Galveston, Texas historian Jamie Durham tells Family Life,
we were blockaded by the Union Navy. Commerce came to a screeching halt, with the exception of blockade runners who were still running goods in and out of our harbor.
Durham says that's when the soldiers came with the news of emancipation.
The earliest celebrations here occurred the next year in 1866. And for several years, they occurred annually on June 19th. But they were referred to as Freedom Day celebrations, Emancipation Day celebrations. It was not until the 1880s that we began to hear the term Juneteenth, which is just a shortened version of June 19th.
A potential tropical storm is threatening the Gulf Coast as dangerous and record-breaking heat bakes the western U.S. The National Hurricane Center says tropical storm conditions and possible flash flooding are expected along the central Gulf Coast today. Meanwhile, the heat wave continues with excessive heat warnings and advisories in effect for much of California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. House Republicans are calling for the vice president to be removed as border czar. Congressman Brian Babin of Texas says the flood of illegal immigration continues and Kamala Harris has bungled the response.
It's been 3 months since Vice President Harris was given the title of czar, and she has yet to go down there. Unbelievable.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott signing a series of gun-related bills, including one allowing people to carry handguns without a permit.
Just look at the ranchers who live in South Texas who are being invaded on a daily basis by people coming across the border. They need to have a gun to be able to defend themselves against cartels and gangs and other very dangerous people. There is a need for people to have a weapon to defend themselves.
Meanwhile, border restrictions between the U.S. and Canada will remain in place for another few weeks. Canada's public safety minister confirmed today they won't be lifted until at least July 21st. The latest agreement banning non-essential travel because of the pandemic was due to expire on Monday. Meanwhile, the European Union has given the green light to welcome back travelers from the United States in the coming days. And the Rush Limbaugh Show is officially off the air. Since Limbaugh's death from cancer in February, iHeart's premier network has continued to syndicate the program using archive segments paired with guest hosts.
You are an indescribable, can't do without it link to everything that's here.
In the last clip of today's show, Limbaugh thanked his audience for participating, and he reaffirmed his optimism for the future of the U.S. Limbaugh's show ran for more than three decades, and Nielsen Audio says it reached more than 20 million monthly listeners as of late 2020. Still to come this Friday, gun lawsuit threat in New York, helping dairy farmers in Pennsylvania, and a trip to the National Soaring Museum.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The weekend weather news is mixed. It'll be mainly cloudy, humid tonight. A few scattered showers around, a thundery downpour for some. Low temperatures in the 60s. Your Saturday, more clouds and sun. A couple showers and thunderstorms around. It'll be a muggy day. High temperatures mid-70s to the low 80s. Now on Sunday, Father's Day, we'll find partly sunny skies, although an isolated shower or thundershower cannot be ruled out. Most areas are rain-free, with high temperatures within a few degrees of 80.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Schuyler County plans to sue if New York State adopts a new tough gun law. That law would allow victims of gun violence to sue gun makers. County Attorney Steve Getman.
It would be like declaring drunk driving a public nuisance and then allowing people to sue your local car dealer whenever anybody misuses a motor vehicle in a drunk driving accident.
Getman says if the controversial gun control measure becomes law, any business dealing with firearms in New York will simply leave the Empire State. Agriculture remains one of Pennsylvania's top industries, but in recent years, farmers have faced more challenges. Family Life's Terry Diener reports there's now a move to bring whole milk back to schools.
More than 10 years ago, federal law removed whole milk from school cafeterias in an attempt to reduce childhood obesity. The fat content in whole milk is 3.25%. Compare that to ice cream at 12% and butter at 20%. Those arguing for milk back in schools say they're simply looking to provide a beverage option while helping a vital state industry. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
State Senator Christine Taglione has made little headway in Harrisburg with proposals to boost the Pennsylvania minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $12. But she says the pandemic scrambled job market of 2021 might make things different. The Philadelphia Democrat is a prime sponsor of a bill backed by Governor Tom Wolf that would set the wage at $12 an hour on July 1st and gradually boost it to $15 an hour by 2027. Next at 5, we hear from Trafford Doherty at the National Soaring Museum in Elmira, New York.
First off, how does an air glider or sailplane differ from other airplanes?
A glider and a sailplane, technically the same thing. They are a motorless aircraft in the eyes of the Federal Aviation Administration. In other words, any aircraft without an engine is a glider or a sailplane. The term sailplane came into being in about 1930. When a fellow out west was designing gliders that would stay aloft on the air currents. That's what soaring actually is, staying aloft on rising air coming up either a ridge or rising warm air, which we call thermals, bubbling up off hot parking lots or factories or plowed fields. That air is rising in such a strong fashion, it'll actually buoy the glider up and it'll go up with it. And you can go for many miles hopping from what we call thermal to thermal. They're all really technically gliders, but a sailplane is designed to soar on the air currents and remain aloft for extended periods.
Wow, and so there's no sort of battery or any kind of power used even for takeoff?
Now, normally for takeoff with a sailplane or glider, you're either towed by another airplane called a tow plane. It could be a regular Piper Super Cub, or we have here modified old crop dusters, and they literally tow the gliders up with a 200-foot rope. And you can go anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 feet above Harris Hill. The glider releases from the rope, and then you're free to slowly glide back down, which takes about 20 minutes, or you can work some thermals and stay up for hours. But normally the fashion for getting a glider aloft today is using a tow plane. You can, in some instances, actually use a car. Or there's also a thing called a winch, which reels in cable, like a big fishing reel, and that'll get a glider up to it.
What unique experience, Trafford, will visitors get when visiting the National Soaring Museum?
Well, they get up close and personal with the gliders. You know, you see how they go together and all this sort of thing, and there's lots of things to read and see in the museum. And a few other things, too, I threw in just for interest, things like dollhouses and things of that nature, which are interesting for people generally. But we basically are about sailplanes and gliding here, and we have a large collection. You know, we're 30 gliders on display in this museum.
And the crafts are not only from the United States, right?
No, we have a number of sailplanes here from Germany. The sport of soaring really originated in Germany. In 1919, the Treaty of Versailles forbid the German people from having powered aircraft. Of course, during World War One, they led the world in the technology in airplanes and the fighter planes and bombers and things. So they started developing sailplanes and gliding as a sport, and they really went to town on it. I should say one thing, however. The first soaring flight ever made in the world was done here in 1911 by Orville Wright. That year, he came back to Kitty Hawk and took a modified biplane, did some changes, brought it back as a glider. He wanted to see if he could actually stay aloft on the rising wind coming up the slope at Kitty Hawk, where they experimented before, you know, the first flight in 1903. And he was able to stay up for almost 10 minutes. That was the first soaring flight in the world.
We're visiting the National Soaring Museum in Elmira, New York.
Our purpose is to educate the public about soaring, what soaring actually is, and also the history of it in this area. Elmira is considered the soaring capital of the United States, and that's because in 1930 it was selected as the official contest site by the then National Glider Association, the NGA. And the first national soaring contest was held here in September of 1930. These flight sites, and there were several of them around this area, were selected because the topography of the land, there are ridges facing any direction of the compass, so no matter if there's wind blowing from any direction, there's a ridge around Elmira somewhere where folks can ridge soar, you know, on the up-thrusting wind coming along. Now, in 1934, the county purchased and acquired the land that was to become Harris Hill, kind of in the middle of the area, and created an 1,800-foot long runway here. So all of a sudden you could do car tows and winch tows, and later on airplane tows. So this instantly became the preferred site from all the others because it's so more flexible.
Trafford, does the Soaring Museum have any special events on tap for this summer?
We do, as a matter of fact. We have the International Vintage Sailplane Meet, July 10th through July 17th. It's a week long. And these guys fly these sailplanes. The weather's nice. They'll be flying every day. If you watch a contest, they take off and they disappear for several hours. With the vintage sailplane meet, you get to watch these old-fashioned gliders from the 1930s up to probably the 70s. They take off and fly around and land again, so it's a great spectator sport.
Excellent. And what does it cost to come and enjoy the Soaring Museum in Elmira?
$9 for an adult, $8 for a senior. That's 60 and older. And youth ages 7 through 18, $5, and 6 and under are free. And we have a family rate of $25 for two adults and two youth-age children or more. So we keep it affordable.
And where can people go to learn more?
We have our website, soaringmuseum.org.
That's Director Trafford Doherty at the National Soaring Museum in Elmira. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Time now for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Wall Street closing today after a volatile week. Stocks fell sharply amid investor concerns the Federal Reserve could start raising interest rates sooner than expected. All three major indexes were down nearly 1% or more. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 533 points, the S&P lost 55, and the NASDAQ fell almost 131 points. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Details are available at ambassadoradvisors.com. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
1 Chronicles 16 reveals that giving is worship. It reads, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. We sometimes might forget that giving is worship and become complacent about it. But the act of giving should fill our hearts with joy, just as would singing our favorite hymn. God doesn't need our money, but he wants our hearts. Giving and worship glorify him, as they should, but he's already far more glorious than anything we could add. Giving and worship are for our benefit. They define our relationship with him and align our hearts with his. So when you put your offering in the plate, let your heart be joyful. You are worshiping the Lord. Discover the best Christian financial articles, podcasts, and videos by visiting our website, moneywise.org, or by downloading MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The weekend weather news is mixed. There's going to be some sunshine. There'll be some showers to deal with, especially on the front end of the weekend. And the temperatures will be moderately high with some higher humidities. It'll be mainly cloudy, humid tonight. A few scattered showers around, a thundery downpour for some. Low temperatures in the 60s. Your Saturday, more clouds and sun. A couple showers and thunderstorms around. It'll be a muggy day. High temperatures, mid-70s to the low 80s. Then on Sunday, Father's Day, we'll find partly sunny skies, although an isolated shower or thundershower cannot be ruled out. Most areas are rain-free with high temperatures within a few degrees of 80.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, baseball fans are reacting to the Yankees finally being allowed to have 100% of their seats full when they take on the Oakland A's tonight. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
There'll be 54,000 screaming fans in the stands for the game, the first at full capacity since the pandemic began last year. No masks, no social distancing, no proof of vaccination required. But how comfortable are Yankees fans with that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Why not?
I can't. I'm not going to chance it. A lot of people are not vaccinated. We got three variants around.
That's the world we live in this 18th of June. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.